This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Our theme for this year is Kingdom, Power and Glory. And we're going to look today, over the next few weeks, we're going to introduce a new series. And we're going to look at what a character that appears in the kingdom. A character that appears in the kingdom. But I'll come back to that in a moment. I just want to tell you a little story about being welcoming, because that's our theme for the day. A while ago, Alice and I lived in Nottingham, and we had a lodger living with us called Danny. And I don't remember, it was quite a long time ago, and he was sort of an ordinary physique. He had liked to wear brown clothes, and he had sort of reddish hair. And he was a lovely guy. And he had a beard, I think, didn't he? Did he have a beard? I think so. And one day, I was coming down rather steep stairs to downstairs, and right at the bottom of the stairs was the front door, which opened onto this pavement. We lived on the road, and we never locked that door. And I was coming down to watch TV with Alison and Danny, and then there was this body, Danny, lying on the floor at the bottom of the stairs, brown clothes, reddish hair, sort of average shape. So I laughingly stepped over the body and walked into the lounge and sat down and turned to Danny and said, "Why are you out? You're not out there. What's that out there? Who's that?" We went outside and it happened to be a local person, well inebriated, rolling down the hill literally from the pub, fell in through our door, landed on the... That's called a sort of accidental welcome into our house. The real welcome in that was as we looked after him, we let him throw up in our best serving bowl. that's a sacrificial part of welcome. We'll come back to that. So our series over the next few weeks is called The Noble Character. The noble character. There is a personality type, if you will, which is developed throughout Scripture. A type, a personality, which is not defined by gender or race. It's not defined by wealth or cleverness or color or qualifications, but by its character. By its character, by its nobility of character, its worthiness. And this noble character that pops up from time to time, the worthy character, the esteemed character, is a type, we call it a type, of Jesus Christ. It gives us a preview or an insight into who Jesus is and what he is like. This noble character is the person we seek to become as we follow Jesus. When we spend time with him, when we become more like him, and when we do the things he does, we take on this character, this noble character. This isn't an aspiration or an achievement. This is your calling. This is your purpose in life. This is who you were created to be, brothers and sisters. Dallas Willard, the theologian philosopher, said this. He said, "You are an unceasing human being with an eternal destiny in God's universe." You're an unceasing human being with an eternal destiny in God's universe. That reframes things, doesn't it? That reframes things. Let me just read to you from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky,'" and so on. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. That verse tells us who we are. We are human beings, and that we are made to rule, to be responsible, to do good. This is part of the eternal destiny that Willard refers to rule for good for God. God created humankind like him to bear noble character, to hold power well, to do good. So in this series, we're going to explore how the noble character develops, how the Bible characters can inspire us and how when God's Holy Spirit comes, he can change us as we learn to follow Jesus. And this way, we can flourish as we seek to live out our eternal destiny to rule for good with God in 21st century Yorkshire. That's where you are. You look completely blank at that point. You're in 21st century Yorkshire. Those of you visiting from down south, rejoice. So, the noble character this week provides a warm welcome. So this is a time of year when we often welcome many new people to our wonderful city. Did you know that Leeds, our sort of vision statement is called the best city ambition. We want to be the best city in the country. Not the biggest, not the wealthiest, but the best to live in, the best to work in, the best to raise family in. So you're welcome to Leeds, best city. And you're welcome to our wonderful church community. If you're new here, if you haven't got it already, you're very welcome. And if you're online, you're very welcome. Have you seen Race Across the World? That BBC program, yeah? For those of you who haven't, I don't know what you're watching, but they send out five or six pairs of people on a mission across the world, and they give them some money, the money that it would normally cost to fly from one side of the continent to the other, and then they're but no phone and no credit cards, and they have to try and get across, and they hitchhike and get buses and get into disasters, and so they're sent out on this mission with nothing to help them, and it reminds me of Jesus sending out the apostles in pairs without gold or silver or bags, without extra clothes, just with a mission. Their mission is the message. And we were watching on Friday night the second series where they're going down through South America. I won't give in much away, but they were talking about the kindness of strangers and how perhaps some of the other cultures in the world are friendlier than we are. And that these people with no money and don't speak the language are trying to get across the country, and people take them in. And sometimes they take jobs and they get board and lodgings, and they're looked after. Very, very interesting reflection. So with that comparison in mind, Billy, do you want to come up and read to us from Matthew chapter 10? Do you want to find that in your Bibles? In this setting, Jesus has recruited... a motley band of 12 disciples. He's trained them a bit, he's taught them a bit, and now he's sending them out on one of these mission trips. This is first century Palestine, remember? People walked everywhere. There's no internet, no McDonald's, no showers. Look out, as Billy reads, look out for the noble character.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 10. Verses 5 to 15, which is on page 734 of the Bibles in your pews. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town.
Thank you, Billy. We are reading from the lively oracles of God. God's words to us. They're absolutely right. They're given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So did you spot the noble character? This character pops up here. Did you spot him or her? Verse 11. Search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. Jesus identifies this noble character. He describes them as worthy with this word. Worthy, estimable, deserving is what it means. Noble. Why are they worthy? Why are they a noble character? Because they give a warm welcome. It got me to thinking what they're like. He goes on in verse 12, says, enter, give it the greeting. If it's deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, the peace returns to you. Verse 14, if anyone will not welcome you, It's all about this welcome. And one of the qualities of a noble character, of a human being who follows Jesus into their eternal destiny, is to provide a warm welcome. So I'm thinking, who do I know who does this? Who do I know who is a noble character providing a warm welcome? I'd like to introduce you to Mrs. Flowers. We need a bigger lectern. Trustees, can you buy us a bigger lectern? Please. No. That's the wrong answer.
We're all works in progress. So I'm not standing up here thinking that I'm all that and a bag of chips. Can you hold that, please?
Oh, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My turn. Yeah.
Mm. Hang on. I haven't asked you the question yet. We agreed this beforehand. So, over the years, you have made a lot of food for people. The food is one of the themes here. Many of you will have eaten cake or meals, courtesy of Alison. Scores of people have lived in our house and moved through it. Why? You come from a home. You're a single child. I'm not. You are. But where did you get this? Why do you welcome all these people? All sorts of people. Strange people.
Well, it's a funny thing, welcome, isn't it? I don't know if you've... When you go into shops, I don't think all shop assistants are called to have a calling of welcome. Some of them, they're like, just don't leave you alone. Some of them, like, doing the nails, having a chat, hello, I'm here. But how does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? What am I doing now? You know, we either feel welcomed and valued or we don't. And the nature of the welcome leaves an impact. And I was in a shop the other day, actually, and the welcome was amazing. And I left feeling so great because the people had just been kind, they'd been helpful, they hadn't been over the top. And there's an emotional aspect to welcome. It's that thing of it's more than just the physical, it's the interior thing. And... in my experience, it's not so much about how we are welcomed or what we do to welcome, but it's more to do with the posture of the heart that's behind it. When I was a teenager, David's mum and dad led the youth group, and I spent a lot of time at their house. Also looking after his younger siblings. And I was welcomed by things falling on my head when I walked through the door and then being rugby tackled in the hall. But I felt incredibly, incredibly welcomed and able to be myself in that place. So watch out if you come to our house, because I've had a few interesting tips on how to welcome people. But it is more about that, the heart posture. And people can tell when your heart posture, when it's a genuine welcome and when it's not. And that home that I walked into where David lived and I was part of for a long time, that was a place where I first learnt and experienced what it felt like to be welcomed by someone who was welcoming another like Jesus would welcome, like God would welcome. And it was the heart posture behind their welcome and their incredible hospitality to a lot of people. that made a big impact on me. And it made me, I mean, apart from the effect that it had on me in terms of my value, my worth, it was fun, it just and also how the Lord welcomes me, I learnt, and it also gave me a real desire to give that away for other people to feel and experience the welcome that I'd had. And it's not the only place I'd had a welcome like that, but it was very, very significant for my teenage years. So my heart behind welcome in the best way that I possibly can, and in each of the seasons of life, because our seasons of life are different, and our capacity to welcome maybe more hospitably is changes. But my heart behind it, even when I don't feel like it, when it's costly in time, money, energy, and I don't always offer hospitality without grumbling, like you're supposed to, it says. But my heart behind it is to give value and worth and dignity to the people that I'm welcoming, whoever it is, and to reflect the way God sees them and the way that I've been welcomed by him. And so that is my heart, and I feel deeply about that. And I found that when it is difficult, when I am challenged with energy or whatever, that where my capacity ends, Jesus, his capacity, he fills the gap, and I am able to do that. But for me, it's about creating a space in which people can be welcomed. And it might be a physical space, it might be like this space, it might be a home like David's family home where I was so welcomed. It might be an event or a wedding or a funeral, but a physical space. It's also the space around me as a carrier of the presence of God and the peace of God. So when I bump into people in the supermarket or in my daily life at the school gate, at the office, wherever, that's the sort of space that I want to create and prepare a welcome for people, even if it's like a 2-minute chat to, you know, a lonely old person at the veg stand. That, for me, is part of it. And it's also an emotional space when we're inviting people into relationship. When I invite them into connection and to friendship, to being known and knowing others, like in our small groups, that's sort of how I think of it. But in all my welcoming, my prayer is that whoever I encounter will leave with a sense of having been welcomed as Jesus would welcome them, you know, human style, even if they don't realize it, and that they would leave with value, dignity, and honor that he would give them. So it could be for me just saying hello to somebody begging at the supermarket door. I want them to, even in that few minutes, to really sense their value and dignity. Or it could be some, you know, grand person who walks in saying, because as Sally said in the communion, the cross is an absolute leveler and we're all equal in value. And we're called to, you know, help other people experience
that. That's really true and wonderful. How do you do it? I mean, how do you look at somebody and, because this is a gift you particularly have, but how do you see them without that sort of judgment call on the stuff around them that makes you think of yourself as I'm superior to them, or I'm in awe of them? And how do you get that leveling thing?
I suppose it's over time that it's a genuine response somewhere in here which goes above all the, we always make assumptions, don't we, when we see people straight, you know, the first glimpse, you make an assumption. And especially in small groups, it's just, quite a lot of it is just years of realizing that when you actually get to know the other, it totally changes your view of them. And obviously when we're out and about, we don't talk, you know, we don't always welcome people that we know. But for me it's like I said, maybe it's a God thing, maybe it's just a God thing that I'm just aware that I am no better than anyone else, you know. And it's just a total desire to give people value and dignity. That's it for me. I don't know, it's a God thing, it's a wiring, it's a that's just my absolute heart, is that people will know that. You know, and others will have different values and different aspirations for people, but that is mine. That's all
great.
I can say.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now you're all thinking, that's enough, David, get off. But, okay, very quickly. Something, I want to just have a look at it in this very quickly, in taking what Alison was saying. How do we apply this individually? How do we apply this as a community, a church family? How do we do it nationally, as a city? I'll do it in the other order, though, I think, actually. So starting as a city... And as for our country, it says in Zechariah 7, this is what the Lord Almighty said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another, do not oppress the widow or the fatherless or the foreigner or the poor. And that's a whole theme through Scripture of justice to the other, to the one who is not like us. I said that about how wonderful the Leeds best city ambition is. It's not ambitious enough for me, because it doesn't talk about this. It doesn't talk about welcoming the refugee and the asylum seeker. We are a Leeds is a city of sanctuary, and we do that, which is great. As you probably heard me say before, I think the way we treat the foreigner, the refugee, is shameful. And one day we will have to answer for it to the king who accepts everybody. Anyway, that city and country, it rolls out at that level. It also rolls out at our community level. And in Hebrews 13, the writer says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. It's one of our 10 ministry goals, is to become a diverse church welcoming diversity, extending that welcome to the other as a church family. Just look around. How different are the people sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you? Think about your small group. How different are they? Are they the same color skin as you? Are they the same gender as you? Are they the same economic strata as you? Are they the same ability or disability as you? Or have we got diversity around us? I'm sorry if that makes you feel uncomfortable. So it should. How welcoming was it to come in with the cafe serving coffee and tea? Doesn't that change the atmosphere when we can do that? Is that important or not? When people leave, like Alison was saying, when you leave a shop and you think, I'll go back there. I like the way they treated me there. When people leave our worship time together, I think that's a significant part of it. If it's important to you, put your hand up and volunteer and give time and sacrifice time to that. And individually, in Matthew 10, later on in that same chapter that Billy read from, in verse 40, Jesus says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. This is personal. This is individual welcome. What Alison was talking about was the sense of seeing the image of God in the other. Right in Genesis, God says, let us create mankind in our image. Every single one of us possesses that image of God deep within us. That's how precious you are and I am. It doesn't mean, as Alison said, that we haven't got homes, all of us, that we can invite people to. But it does mean switching from selfie mode to front camera. It means a smile, an offer to pray for somebody. It means an outgoing posture. I want to spend some time thinking about why is this so difficult for some of us? Why is it difficult for me? What is it that stops me being welcoming? But I've got a problem with my technology. What's What's the next slide? Yeah, so what's interesting in this is that in that verse we just read, there's a thing about as we welcome people, we discover that Jesus is in that person. You know, when he said about the goats and the sheep, he said, blessed are you for the way you visited me in prison, the way you gave me water. And they say, we didn't visit you in prison. We didn't give you water. We didn't clothe you. And he says, when you did it for any of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. So when we're welcoming the other, it's an awesome thought, but we're welcoming Jesus. He may not look like we thought he would look, but that's what we're doing. And when we're welcoming Jesus, I said at the beginning, this is a way for us to become more like him. So we're welcoming Jesus without really realizing it when we're welcoming one another, and we're becoming more like Jesus so that when others meet us and meet our welcome, like Alison was describing, all of a sudden, they are meeting Jesus in us. Do you get that? Is that awesome? That this welcome it works both ways. So as we sort of disrobe from our protection and welcome somebody into our lives and pray for them and speak warmly to them, we find ourselves perhaps speaking to Jesus. And as we do this, we become more like him to whom we're speaking. And then when we offer this welcome to people, they are receiving it from him. It's a beautiful thing. I think what we'll do is we're going to just stop and pray into that sense of what are the resistances to this? What are we afraid of in this point of fear? I think part of it is the fear of the other. And for some of you, just talking about this has made you has brought fear up in you. So I want you just to capture that. Why am I afraid? For others, it might be shame or an embarrassment. That as I welcome somebody into my life, maybe into my house, into my family, there's something I'm ashamed of in that. Not necessarily in a really bad way, just my self-esteem isn't great. Is that something that stops you welcoming? Maybe it's the cost. It's a time cost, isn't it? It's a priority cost. If I stop to speak to this stranger, that's going to mean that what I was going to do is going to be late or not happen. If I choose to welcome and it costs in the form of money, with food, say, is that going to fit into my budget? I just want to go home and watch the rugby. Am I going to give that up or have someone watch it with me who I'd rather watch on my own? There are lots of, maybe it's just me. Maybe those are just the way I think. I suspect not. I think you may be with me on some of this. So what should we do? If you just sense that there's a challenge in here for you to become that noble character, this person of destiny that you're created to be, and you just say, I want to be a noble character, and I want to be a character that offers welcome. I want to be Jesus to people in that sense, and I want to be somebody who welcomes others who are made in the likeness of God into my life, into my community, into my country. If that's you, and you feel you need equipping in that, and some dealing with some stuff in making you more that type of person, why don't you stand and we'll pray. If you're a visitor, by the way, this is a great time to get prayed for. Stand up for this and get prayed for something else, just because if you can go back home and nobody will know. I think there's more. This isn't a judgment that you're not welcoming. This is saying, I just want to get into that. I want to be that noble character. When Jesus sent them out and he says, go and find a household that will welcome you, I want to be that person that he's saying, he's pointing to. When he sends people out, he'll send them to you. Alison, do you want to come and help me? So why don't we just ask the Holy Spirit to come? Just be in a receptive mode in your mind and in your body, in your posture. Just be in a receptive mode to listen and to hear from him. And confess, just to yourself, the thing that it is that is a barrier to you. Is it expectation? Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it the cost? What is it that holds, that is an impediment to reaching this character? Holy Spirit, I know I've got so much to do to become the person who welcomes others that you have designed me and made me to be. And I'm sorry for where I've fallen short on this. And Holy Spirit, I lay before you my fears and my shame and my sort of holding on, not wanting to pay the price. I lay it down before you. And I pray that you'll change me as I spend time with you. I pray that you'll change me. Help me be more like you. May I see you in others. May I see the precious image of God in those around me. Just do something in my heart, I pray. Change me. I think for some of you, there's a particular person that you do not want to welcome. It's almost like the Lord's put that in front of you as a sort of, well, there you go, there's one. If that's you, then the prayer is, Lord, when I look at this person, Lord, give me your heart for them. May I see them with your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Now let him come. The Holy Spirit's going to come now, and he's going to release a level of compassion and other awareness which is new to you. Let him come.
I think for one or two people, standing or you may not be standing, God's been stirring you and is calling you to a radical welcome. Something that he's calling you into that will be more costly. That he's been stirring that in you, but it's a radical way of welcoming. And some have been sitting here just longing to experience the sort of welcome that we've talked about. We'd love to pray for you as well.
Yeah. Bless what you're doing. Now bless what you're doing.